Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live for Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, February the 6th, and once again, we have a really big night in store for all of our listeners tonight. Now, joining me here shortly is going to be our co-host, Sal Segala, and he and I are going to be talking to quite a few people here tonight. Starting with at 8:40, we have Bill McAnally from McAnally Racing that will be joining us. He has some news to share with everybody about his organization for the Can-Am Pro Series West this 2017 season. So definitely looking forward to talking to Bill McAnally about what that news is. I'm sure it's exciting, and we'll be talking to him at 8:40, so that's less than 10 minutes from now if you're planning your evening here for tonight. Now, at 9 o'clock, we have the Rolex 24 winner is going to be on the show with us tonight. Jordan Taylor from Wayne Taylor Racing will be taking a look back at their victory in the Rolex 24 at Daytona International Raceway at the end of January, and that was a big, big win. Special on so many different levels, and we will talk to Jordan Taylor about that during the 9 o'clock half hour. During our 9:30 half hour, we have Brian Olson coming back to chat with us. It's that time of year again for the Winter Showdown, and that will be at Kern County Raceway this weekend as part of the Spears SRL Southwest Touring Series. So we'll have a lot to talk to Brian Olson about as well. So definitely looking forward to chatting with him, as well as our other guest. Again, joining me here shortly is going to be our co-host, Sal Segala. In the meantime, I'm just going to highlight some information with regard to some of the news that has come out here recently. So I know that there's been a lot of news that's come out with regard to NASCAR just in the last several weeks. We're winding down now to the Daytona 500 weekend, and that always means big news. So definitely looking forward to kind of looking at some of the news that has come out here more recently. Now, I do know that it was announced this afternoon that Richard Childress Racing is bringing Ben Kennedy into their organization for the Xfinity Series, and Ben Kennedy is going to be racing 9 races with the Xfinity Series and with RCR under the RCR banner. So that's going to be interesting to see happening over the course of this next year as well. Now, joining me now, as promised, our co-host, Sal Segala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, hi, Sharon. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Just kind of highlighting that Ben Kennedy is going to be racing 9 races this season with Richard Childress Racing in the Xfinity Series. That was pretty good news to hear today.
Yeah, it is. You know, we're starting to hear, you know, a lot of these younger drivers, you know, even if it's not for a full season, you know, but at least they're getting a chance, you know, to get their feet wet, you know, in the upper series, you know, aside from the, you know, from the Can-Am West or Can-Am East series.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know we have Bill McAnally coming on here in just a couple minutes. He's going to be talking about some Can-Am Pro Series West news from his organization, so definitely looking forward to hearing another announcement there as well. Now, also announced today is AM Racing, who fields Austin Wayne Self in the number 22 Camping World Truck Series car. They made an announcement today that they are going to, their Toyotas will be running Joe Gibbs Racing engines. So they're under that Joe Gibbs Racing umbrella.
Wow, that's some amazing news. You know, and even with that, you know, we're still kind of wondering, about, what's going to happen with, with some of the, you're hearing some of these teams, how they're, moving around. Well, of course, we already heard with, Stewart Haas Racing, going to the Ford, program this year. It's going to be an interesting season to see how, some of these, some of these things work and play out.
Absolutely. Now, I just want to remind fans, too, with regard to the AM Racing news, that not only is Austin Wayne self-driving that number 22 truck this season, but Justin Fontaine will be behind the wheel of that Toyota Tundra this season as well, so you can look for him to be on track. But you're right, Sal, there's so many things that we're still waiting to hear for different teams. And you brought up that Ford Performance is taking under their banner Stewart Haas Racing this season, and they actually had a conference call today with Dave Parisat and Doug Yates. And one of the things that they mentioned is that if Danica doesn't get the full sponsorship, they are going to make sure that she races the full season this year.
You know, there was a rumor going around about Danica this weekend. A buddy of mine was trying to kick one up, and I had a laugh. And he said that Danica was going to go back to, well, she's never done it, so it's not like she was going to go back to, but that she was going to race Canaan West next season. And I said, why would she go back to Canaan West? I said, first of all, there's no money in it for her. I said, and if she was going to go back to anything, I'm sure she'd probably try to get back in an Indy car. Since, the fact of the matter is, she has no sponsor.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. And especially in light of what Ford Performance had to say today during their teleconference, it sounds like they're behind her 100%, and they're going to make sure that she's behind the wheel of her car this season at Stewart Haas Racing.
Yeah, and then you kind of wonder how long that's going to last before they just, it's time to, full sponsorship. I mean, we've seen it already happen before. We've seen teams, in the middle of the sponsors, in the middle of the season, full sponsorship. But it's going to be interesting.
Well, and that's part of what has happened to her. So we'll have to wait and see, what happens. Who knows? She might have a good season, Sal.
Yeah, and actually that was a horrible thing. I mean, it kind of works both ways because it just shows that Stewart Haas Racing really didn't do their homework on that sponsor. Kind of went on the, whatever it was. But either way, it's season's almost here, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, absolutely. I am as well. Daytona 500 is coming up soon. Not this weekend, but next weekend we'll be talking about the Clash on Saturday night for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So, and just before that, by the way, the ARCA Racing Series will be racing their season opener at Daytona International Speedway. That will happen before the Clash that Saturday night on February the 18th. So a lot of things for fans to look forward to in the next couple of weeks here as we get the 2017 season off on a good start.
Yeah, and actually, I remember we had Lee Montgomery on the show the other day. Not the other day,
yep,
a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
yep.
And actually I had a chance to have lunch with him today. So
I saw that.
There's a lot of good things happening that you're going to be seeing with John Force Racing. We talked about it, but, announcements won't be made until Wednesday and Friday. So I told him I wouldn't say anything, but, all you drag racing fans who are fans of John Force Racing, keep an eye out. It's a couple of exciting things coming up.
Absolutely. Keep your eyes open because, as Sal said, there are a lot of good things and more announcements that will be announced in these next couple of weeks to keep fans on their toes with who's where and what they're racing and what's going on in the world of NASCAR. Now, Sal, coming up here shortly is going to be Bill McAnally. He's the team owner for Bill McAnally Racing He's getting his lineup together for the 2017 season.
You know, actually, he has his lineup ready. I talked to him a little bit on Saturday. I don't remember. I think it was Saturday I talked to him when I asked him to come on the show. And it was after I had already heard an announcement. So once again, we'll get the announcement first here. Like last year, he announced his team. And
right.
So once again, he'll be making the announcement tonight, which is going to be cool because I know there's some people on the team that are waiting to hear, you know, what the announcement is, you know, and it's exciting. I mean, we always enjoy having Bill McAnally on the show anyways, and he always brings a lot of good things, a lot of good nuggets to the table.
Yes, he always he's a big supporter of Fan for Racing Radio, and we certainly appreciate all that he does. And you mentioned, Sal, that he came on last year and made the announcement of his lineup on Monday night NASCAR and Race Talk, and he's going to do that again here now in just a few minutes. And we really appreciate the fact that he does that here on the radio show on Monday night. And then, of course, all the press releases will come out shortly afterwards or even tomorrow.
Yeah, and, you know, not only that, but, you know, you also look at all the races that he sponsored this year, too, you know. You know, I mean, he's such a help to the series, you know, and, you know, going out of his way, you know, to make sure, that the series, you know, is alive, you know, we have enough races, you know, he brings in the Napa sponsorship, you know, which is really huge in the series.
Yes, he's huge in this series. He's been at this for more than 25 years with Bill McAnally Racing and his partnership that he has with Napa Auto Parts. It's one of the longest running partnerships in that series, and he's had a lot of success over that 25 years, the last several years. Last year he had Chris Eggleston won the championship a couple years ago. Last year he had the championship again. And for some reason, the name's escaping me, Sal.
Well, you're talking about Chris Eggleston and Todd Gilliland.
Todd Gilliland. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. Todd Gilliland won last season in the K&N West. And both of those drivers came from Bill McAnally Racing. So he's done clinics for the drivers. He's done things to, you know, really help drivers develop their careers. And so he's a top-notch organization within the K&N Pro Series for sure.
Well, yeah, he is. He's he brings in good equipment, good sponsorship, brings in good drivers. You know what? And he markets them really well. And you know, and everyone within the organization, you know, all the way from the crew chiefs to the team members, all the way up to the office, you know, where they do the marketing, and press release, and stuff like that. I mean, it's all top-notch.
It definitely is. And, you know, every year you look forward to who's going to be racing under his umbrella for this coming season because you know that those drivers are going to do well out there in the K&N Pro Series. Now, a couple of years ago in the West, he ran drivers in both series. Do you think he'll be doing that again this year, Sal?
Actually, Todd Gilliland is running both East and West Series this year for Bill McAnally. And
okay, so that's pretty good to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'll have them running both of them. I'm not sure who his East drivers are yet. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure he'll probably have at least one, I'm thinking maybe one full-time East driver for the K&N Series.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that because that's a really big deal. We are awaiting his arrival here shortly. Bill McAnally, he is the team owner of Bill McAnally Racing, has been in this business well over 25 years and has had a tremendous amount of success. If you ask up-and-coming race car drivers about Bill McAnally Racing, everybody knows about him, right, Sal?
Oh, yeah. He's you know, not only in the East and West Series, but just in the NASCAR garage alone. You know, he's helped a lot of drivers. You know, he's, you know, helped a lot of just all around great person.
He really is. Just the times that I've talked to him here on the show, you can tell he's a good-hearted person. He has people's best interest at heart. And, you know, it's one of those situations where if his drivers have success, he knows he's going to have success. So
exactly.
Making that investment in the drivers is a really important thing for him. So, hopefully he'll be here shortly, Sal.
Yeah, let me give him a text here and see if maybe he...
Yeah, we're gonna send him a little reminder here that the show has started and we expect him here momentarily. We do have another guest that's coming up here during the 9 o'clock half hour. Again, Jordan Taylor, part of the Wayne Taylor Racing team in the IMSA Rolex 24 that won a couple weeks ago at Daytona. And he races not just Jordan Taylor, but with Ricky Taylor, Max Angelelli, and Jeff Gordon was a part of that team. We have an article about it, a press release that came out from Wayne Taylor Racing this morning that we have posted over there on fanforracing.com if anybody wants to kind of read up on what's going on with them as they kind of reflect over the last week on that victory in that Rolex 24. It was a pretty big deal and very emotional for them. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about there too, Sal.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I mean, anytime you want to race, you know, with the magnitude of a Rolex 24, you know you're going to get the excitement, you know, and the, you know, just everything, you know, that goes along with that win.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had Jordan on the show before, so it's going to be fun to have him back. Jordan is kind of has a lot of personality and exuberance about him. And if anybody follows Jordan Taylor, they're gonna be in for a treat because he is always up to something and loves to share on social media different things that are going on. So we'll get a chance to kind of talk to him about that as well. All righty. Let's take a look at maybe some of the other news that's coming out in the series. Stewart Haas Racing, some of you might remember there was a lawsuit against Tony Stewart. That is still moving forward. So some news about that has come out recently. If you want to read more about that, I would suggest that you check out ESPN.com. They've got some details about it over there, about the fact that it is moving forward. Another thing, you might recall a few years ago, a fan was hurt at Daytona. They have settled the lawsuit that fan has filed against NASCAR and I believe Daytona International Speedway as well. But they have settled that out of court. So that is over on that front. So a little bit of good news, bad news there.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty sad, what happens, you know, at the track sometimes, you know, and you get the, you know, the people, you know, who are trying to, you know, profit off it. But, I mean, then in the other turn, you know what, I mean, you know, I don't know how I would decide if I would ever go through with one or if I wouldn't, because, I mean, you know the risk you're taking when you come to these events. But then on the other hand, you know, things happen that sometimes, you know, nobody ever expects to get hurt, first of all.
Right, right. And, you know, NASCAR never wants anyone to get hurt either. And they've done a lot to try to improve the safety, not only for the drivers, but even at a lot of these tracks, they've done a lot to make it safer for the fans as well. So it's one of those things that unfortunately happened. And, nobody wants to see a fan get hurt in the stands from watching a NASCAR race. But I am glad that they've come to a settlement and that that's something that's in the rearview mirror at this point.
Yeah, it's, like I said, once again, it's a sad situation for everyone involved, but, I guess it could happen at a supermarket too. Somebody could be walking, and slip on a, on a fruit that maybe somebody dropped a grape or something, and then, what do you do then?
Yep. Yeah, stranger things have happened, so certainly we never want to see anybody get hurt. Now, there's Ford Performance. I mentioned it a little bit earlier that Dave Parisot and Doug Yates were on a teleconference today with media, and I talked about Danica Patrick as part of the Q&As that took place there. There was also an update with regard to Doug Yates' father, Robert Yates, and people were asking about how he's doing. He's been dealing with some cancer, and Doug Yates gave a little bit of an update just saying that he's doing everything that he's supposed to be doing as far as following the doctor's orders and everything, and they're looking at him doing as well as can be under the circumstances. So they just take it on a day by day basis. Just two more chemo treatments left, though, and he said then hopefully they can go to surgery. And he said his dad's hanging tough, so that was good news.
Well, that's always good to hear, that they're doing good, and hopefully, the last treatment, that'll be it.
Absolutely. All right. Any other news you want to make sure we talk about here, Sal, while we have a chance to kind of talk about some of the news?
That's basically, not really much going on. Of course, the NHRA season starts up this weekend, at Pomona, with the Winter Nationals. And, then we got the Winter Showdown coming up, which we'll be talking with Brian Olson later on about that. And, it's going to be an exciting time. And, the list of drivers keeps getting bigger and bigger, which is always a good thing. And, What?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, I started to say something. Yeah, so looking forward to being out the track again this weekend. But at least it'll be with the, it'll be with the stock cars instead of the dirt.
Yes, indeed. So, again, fans, hang in there. We're still trying to see if we can get in touch with Bill McAnally. I know he was planning to be on the show here tonight, and we're hoping to still have him on to share some news from that Bill McAnally Racing organization. In about 6 minutes, though, we will have Jordan Taylor on the show here, and we'll be talking to Jordan about we're going to be talking to Jordan then about that Rolex 24 win that he had. Now, if we do miss Bill McAnally right now, there may still be another opportunity to chat with him at about 20 minutes after the 9 o'clock half hour or the 10 o'clock half hour. And the other time that we might get an opportunity to chat with Bill McAnally would be about 10-2 that 10 o'clock hour. So, I'm sorry, 20 minutes after the 9 o'clock half hour and then 10 minutes before the 10 o'clock time frame are two opportunities that we might be able to still chat with Bill McAnally and hear the news that he has to share. As you can imagine, team owners can be a little bit busy, right, Sal?
Oh, yes, they can. They got a lot going on, and you know, especially you know when they're prepping for the season.
Yes, indeed. And then there's always those unexpected things that come up out of nowhere. And that could be what's happened here tonight. But we know that Bill will make every effort to be on the show here as soon as we get an opportunity. So, again, stay tuned because we will have some breaking news from Bill McAnally shortly. I know you didn't get a chance to watch the Rolex 24 sale, but did you get a chance to kind of see any of the highlights?
You know what, I watched a little bit of it, but not really much. Not really a big fan of the race itself. I know all my buddies are, you know, they're, you know, to them that's their kickoff event, but, you know, I was also in Anaheim with the Supercross. So, you know, that took up a lot of time. It took up a lot of energy, and it didn't really leave me much time to do much of anything else.
All right. Well, there are a lot of things that were going on with Wayne Taylor Racing that weekend. They're racing the new Cadillac, the all-new Cadillac prototype that weekend. It was the debut of that prototype. So that was kind of part of one of the storylines going into the race, and also leaving the race, the fact that they won in their debut. You had Jeff Gordon, you know, as part of the team. He became one of just four drivers to win both the Rolex 24 and the Daytona 500. And that list includes a very few drivers, including A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti, and Jamie McMurray. So now Jeff Gordon is part of that list. Then you have their teammate, Max Angelelli, who is retiring at the end of that race. He's leaving his career as a sports car driver. And so to win your very last race, and for it to be such a big race as the Rolex 24, that made it kind of emotional for everybody as well. So, you know, a lot of really big storylines going into that. The fact that you have the two brothers, Ricky and Jordan Taylor, that are racing together with their dad's racing team, Wayne Taylor Racing, and for them to accomplish that feat together with their dad adds to the specialness of the moment. So just a lot of really great storylines coming out of that Rolex 24 win.
Oh yeah, you know what, I know it's one of the biggest, you know, 24 hour races to win, you know, and especially with the fact, you know, that it does start off, it does kind of kick off, you know, the racing season, you know, at Daytona itself, you know, along with the, you know, with the preseason testing we had with the ARCA series. But, you know, it's, you know, you look back and you look at all the teams that have won this race and, you know, the stamina and the concentration it takes, you know, to, you know, when it's your time to get in, you know, gosh, you know, you're either, I mean, if you're in the lead, I guess it's pretty fun. But when you have to play catch up or something happens, you know, you kind of wonder what kind of toll it takes on, you know, on the other drivers.
Absolutely. But these guys are all ready to go and ready to jump in. It's something that they practice, I'm sure, as they get ready for that Rolex 24. And, in fact, we have now with us Jordan Taylor, and we're going to talk to him about the Rolex 24 at Daytona and how special that victory was for himself and his family, as well as his teammates racing that weekend. And first of all, Jordan, I want to say a huge congratulations to you and to Wayne Taylor Racing for that big Rolex 24 victory. Hello?
Hello?
This is Bill McAnally. I heard you introduced in Jordan, so I was being quiet there. But I got tied up there and was about 5 minutes late calling in. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bill. We've got Jordan Taylor that's coming on the show now. And let me see what we can do here. Can you hold for just a minute or two here?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. All right, Sal, if you want to just talk for a minute, I'll see if I can get this coordinated.
Okay. You know, Bill, thanks again, you know, for coming on the show. I know every year, you know, we always try to, you know, get you on early, you know, so we can find out what's going on with Bill McAnally Racing. You know, it looks like it's going to be another exciting season again. Once again, congratulations on the championship last year and the championship from the year before. So with that, what do the fans have to look forward to this year from Bill McAnally? Hello? Wow, it looks like we lost everybody. Lost Bill, lost Sharon, and lost Jordan. I guess we can just keep going on, and hopefully we'll get Bill back. And this way, you know, we can find out, you know, what's going on with Bill McAnally Racing. I know he has a really good announcement for us, and, you know, not only that, but for the fans of Bill McAnally Racing, to see what's going on next season. You know, a lot going on with racing this year, you know, a lot of changes, you know, of course, the biggest one coming with NASCAR and the new format, the segments that are taking place. You know, that raised a lot of eyebrows. I raised a lot of ifs and what ifs and, you know, where's NASCAR going to go from here? Of course, the other announcement was the announcement of Monster Energy taking over as a series sponsor, which that alone should be, you know, something I'm sure a lot of the younger generation is going to be looking forward to. We've seen what Monster Energy has done with. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have Bill McAnally here now. So Bill McAnally is going to talk here. If you want to go ahead and do an introduction, and then we'll have Jordan call in about 10 minutes.
Okay. You there, Bill?
Yeah, I am, Sal. And I heard what you were saying there, talking about our driver lineup this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't be happier than to have Todd Gilliland back with us this season, and we're going to run the Defend His Championship in the West, along with running the full NASCAR Can in the East. So we've got quite a schedule for Todd, 27 races in the East and the West. And then we've tested and located a young man out of Wisconsin by the name of Derek Krause, and he's going to run for us for the full West and some select East races. And we're excited to be working with Derek. He's quite a young talent, and working with his family, they've done a great job building a great foundation for Derek's years coming up to this, and I'm looking forward to working with Derek. And then just last week, we got everything together with Chris Eggleston, and he'll be returning our 2015 champion to contend for the championship out west.
You know, Bill, going back to Derek Krause, I mean, you know, the fans already know about Todd. They know about Chris. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, he was the 2015 Can-Am West Championship, you know, running for Bill McAnally. But, you know, when you look at Derek Krause and you know, he's another young driver, you know, that you're bringing into the fold, with the good resume and especially, you know, a lot of talent, which I'm sure, you know, it's going to mix in good with the Bill McAnally Racing, you know, the way you bring your drivers up.
Well, Derek is an amazing young talent. He's 15 years old, a lot like Todd was, and he's been winning in late models and before that speed trucks, and he's just done a great job coming up. He's got some great support there in Wisconsin. His dad was a driver for many years and has built a great foundation for us to work with Derek, and we're looking forward. It's going to be a great year. We've got three great drivers to contend for the West and run a lot of East races. And then just last Friday, talking to Riley Herbst, he's going to run the full ARCA for Joe Gibbs Racing next year. And in his schedule, he's got opportunity to run seven K&N races. So we're also going to field Riley Herbst for seven races.
Wow, that's exciting. You know what? Actually, Riley was always one of my favorite drivers last season to work with. And I think a lot of it was because, you know, working with him, you know, at Irwindale Speedway. But, once again, congratulations, you know, on the lineup you have. You know, it sounds like it's really going to be a really good, strong season for you this year. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Bill, congratulations on a great lineup. I think that's awesome news, the drivers that you have lined up for your 2017 season. One of the things that we talked about a little bit earlier is that, you know, everybody knows Bill McAnally Racing. You're an established organization within the Can-Am Pro Series. You do so much for the sport along with your partner, Napa Auto Parts. And, you know, when drivers are racing for an organization like yours, Bill McAnally Racing, there's a lot of success that follows that.
Well, we work hard. We got dedicated crew members and drivers and sponsors and everybody. You know, we've built a reputation where we aren't happy unless we're in contention for a win. So we work hard, and if somebody gets ahead of us, it just drives us to work even harder and do what we've got to do to be competitive. That's what we like to be, is competitive. And if you're competitive, the wins come and the championships come. And that's what we're working for tonight. I'm standing here in the shop, and there's four guys here digging right now.
They're all working and getting ready for this season to start. The season opener is kind of an unusual season opener because you've got four events that are happening pretty quickly in the Can-Am West this season. How does that affect your organization going into the season openers?
That's really exciting. But we actually we've got our transporters leaving here this weekend, headed back to New Smyrna for the Florida for Speed Weeks, and we'll kick off with the East opener. We're going to have Todd Gilliland there and Derek Krause to start gelling and working as a team. It's real important to get that underway, and so we'll be at New Smyrna coming up here with the haulers leaving this weekend. But the West will start off in a very unusual way, starting off at Tucson on Saturday, March 18th. Then we go down to Kern County for a Wednesday and a Thursday night race right after that, and then we'll end at Irwindale that Saturday night, the 25th, the same weekend the Cups at California Speedway with Twin 100. So just like you said, that gives us four races in 8 days to kick off our 2017 season, and they're all Napa Auto Parts sponsored races, and Napa stepped up and actually put a bonus challenge together where anybody that could win all four races or finish in the top three, top five, or top ten, there's bonus monies. And over they just announced last week, and we're going to hand the flyers out, and I can actually make it public on your show, the bonus for anybody that could win all four of those races is $100,000 from Napa Auto Parts.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that
is huge. Pretty exciting way to start the year, yes.
Oh, wow.
So you talk about bringing your young driver out and getting to race four races to develop him. You've got four racing purses, and then on top of that, you've got a chance to win a $100,000 bonus.
Absolutely. That is amazing. And certainly something that I'm sure the drivers are excited about as well. Don't you think, Sal?
Oh, you know what, Sharon? I mean, the 50,000 that Bill had originally put up, you know, was huge. You know what? And you have to look back at last season that Todd Gilliland finished second in the Tucson race, but won the other. He won at Kern and he won at Urindale. You know, so you kind of have to look at Todd as a favorite. But when you put $100,000 up, I mean, you got Chris Eggleston who knows how to win back to back races. You know, and then of course, you have to look all around at all the drivers that are coming back. I mean, Bob Brucati just signed Ryan Partridge back for a third season, which is unheard of because Brucati only runs a driver for 2 years. So that putting up that extra money, that's going to be huge. You're going to see a lot of good racing. Not that we haven't. You're going to see a lot more better racing. Not that $100,000 is up for grabs.
Absolutely. Bill, I hate to cut you short, but we got to keep on our schedule here for tonight. And I'm just really excited to hear the news that came out of Bill McAnally Racing here tonight. I'm excited for the season openers and kind of the unusual start out there in the Can-Am West. And I'm excited to see that Bill McAnally Racing is going to be racing in the East this year. We're going to see you guys out there, you know, racing in both of these series. And I think it's fantastic.
Well, we got a lot of great people that are working hard, getting ready, and couldn't do it without our great support from our sponsors. And that bonus challenge, that's all about NAP Auto Parts. So thank you,
Ben,
guys. Sorry I was late calling in. We sure appreciate what you guys do for all of us out here.
Hey,
we appreciate
Bill,
you as well.
And actually, you know what? The Monday before the season starts, we'll have you back on the show, and then this way you know we could talk a little bit more about that, you know, and not only that, but you know go a little bit more in depth with the team and you know what's going on with Bill McAnally.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you guys. Have a good night. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Bill.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Now, fans can follow Bill McAnally Racing at BMR_Racing, and you definitely want to keep up with them throughout the season this year because there's a lot going on at that organization, and they always have a lot of great success. Now, somebody else who's had some tremendous success this year already in the 2017 season is Wayne Taylor Racing, and their four drivers, including Jordan and Ricky Taylor, Max Angelelli, and Jeff Gordon was part of their Rolex 24 team. They came home victors of the Rolex 24 at the end of January, and now that you've had some time, Jordan, to kind of reflect back on that victory, well, first of all, let me say congratulations to you guys because that was a huge, huge victory. But now, after you've had some time to kind of reflect on that win, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing that I think most of us felt from the team was relief. The past, you know, since 2013, so the past five Rolex 24s now, we've run almost a perfect race. We've been on the lead lap every lap of every race, ever went to the garage, and had flawless runs. And usually at a 24-hour race, that will put you in a great position to win the race, and it has. But we've come up short just a little bit every time with 3 seconds in the third. And then finally this year, it finally all came together and we got the win. So I think everyone was a bit relieved that everything finally kind of went into place. And it was great to do it with Cadillac coming back to prototype racing, Max, his last professional race before retiring, and Jeff Gordon being with us as well. So it was kind of a perfect combination.
It really was. There's so many storylines coming out of the race and with you guys coming home as the victors. And I was reading up on it a little bit. Max and your dad actually raced together in the early 2000s And so it had to be kind of a full circle between those two drivers as well, your dad and Max Angelelli.
Yeah, I've known Max since I was 7 years old. He was driving with my dad starting back in 1998. So I grew up with him kind of almost as a family member, and then grew up with him kind of as a mentor and him coaching Ricky and I when we got into racing. So it was cool to drive alongside him, you know, the past 4 or 5 years in prototypes, and it was really special to have, you know, his last race together with us, and sending him off on such a big note with such a big win.
It really was pretty special, and I know one of the things that came out in the media center after the race, and you mentioned it here, is that he'd have lessons with you guys. He'd come over to the house and sit down at the table and teach you about downforce. And, was there anything that stands out for you there about those lessons?
It was, you know, I've got great, you know, memories from it. He would bring in like a big board of paper and, you know, write down, like draw pictures on the board. And, you know, Ricky and I would take our little notes just like a classroom. And, you know, it was great. It was great for, you know, being so young and being introduced to, you know, the engineering, not just the driving side, but to the engineering side of the car as well, and understanding what it takes to make the car fast and, you know, what understeer is, what oversteer is, and what kind of tools you can use to fix it, whether it's the aerodynamics with the wings and the diffuser and the splitter, or mechanical with the springs and roll bars. So he always has taught us to maximize the car from an engineering point of view and work on ourselves as drivers. And, you know, he's been kind of pushing that on us since a very young age. So I think it's paid off so far.
I would say so, Jordan. Now, I'm going to kind of pick up on that line of questioning here in a minute, but we do have co-host Sal Segala with us tonight, and I know he has some questions for you as well. So I'm going to pass the baton over to him.
Hey, Jordan, first of all, congratulations on that win. You know what? It must have been exciting, you know what, especially with the list of drivers, you know, having Jeff Gordon on the team and you know, and just going out there, you know, and you know, 24 hours of continuous racing, you know, watching it, you know, taking your time to rest. But, man, crossing that finish line and just seeing that checker flag must have been – I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, I was actually watching the finish. My brother Ricky finished the race. So I was actually sitting next to Jeff on the timing stand watching, you know, the last hour and a half or 2 hours unfold. And it was – extremely stressful and just a roller coaster of emotion, because we were leading, we went back to second, I think, so, and when Ricky got in the car and the pit stop, we went back to second, then Ricky made a great pass for the lead with about an hour and 20 minutes to go and pulled away, and we were feeling great about things, and then a yellow came out, and the five car who we were battling with happened to get in the pits before us, and they cycled back to the lead. So now it was looking like a repeat of our last 4 years of Daytona, where we come up just short. And then when Ricky made that move with, you know, 8 or 9 minutes to go, the pit stand went crazy, and, you know, the emotions just started flowing out of everyone.
You know, what was it like, you know, racing, you know, with the driver, you know, who's already retired, you know what, he hasn't, you know, sure, he finished off a few races, but, you know, as you guys are setting up your strategy, you know, knowing, you know, that, you know, he is a decent, I guess you could say he's above average road course racer, you know, but, you know, as you're putting the team together, you know, you're here, you're thinking, oh, wow, we got Jeff Gordon, but actually, you know, look at yourself, your brother and your other teammate, you know, who have probably more experience than he does.
Yeah. And he was very open and honest and humble coming into it. He was extremely, you know, it was a great learning experience for Ricky and I to see a guy like Jeff Gordon, who's won everything, come into kind of a new area and a new experience, and just being asking questions and being extremely humble and trying to learn what sports car racing is about. So he was green to it, but it was extremely impressive to see how fast he picked it up with how much different of a car it is. He's done some road course racing, but never with a car like this with, you know, high amounts of downforce, carbon brakes, very stiff platform. So it was a lot to get used to. And I think as soon as he hit the track at our first test in Charlotte, I think everyone was relieved and excited to see how fast, you know, he picked it up and how competitive he was right out of the box. And it kind of shows that, you know, he may have retired full-time from NASCAR, but that natural ability that he has, you know, in a race car translates to any type of race car, and he was able to pick it up, you know, like he's been doing it for years.
You know, and then actually getting back to you and your brother, to pick the last driver, you know, the driver who's going to almost not really dictate the race, you know, but, you know, you somebody's going to be left with the, you know, having to make the last lap pass or, you know, five lap to go pass, but someone was going to have to cross that flag, you know, and, you know, it's you and your brother. So, I mean, how did you guys make the decision on who was going to be the last driver?
It was determined sort of early in the week. We knew what our driver rotation was going to be, and we knew that I was going to be second to last in the car, and then Ricky was going to finish it. And it's just the way the engineer likes to work the races, to use everyone's strengths in the car. So throughout the middle of the night, we used Max and Jeff to kind of do a lot of the work early on to save Ricky, especially for the end of the race, so it could be as fresh as possible.
Oh, that's pretty neat, you know, because I always wonder, you know, how a team, you know, that's racing the Rolex, you know, how they pick, you know, I mean, you know, how you do your driver's lineups. Of course, you're going to do them according to strength, but where do you find, you know, what the strength is and the weaknesses are, you know, when the track is, it's the same track that you're, you know, it's the same configuration you're running for the whole 24 hours.
Yeah, and this year was especially difficult because, you know, it was raining, you know, in the middle of the night, so you had constantly changing conditions, and when you have changing conditions, it's hard for a fresh driver to get in and adapt to the situation. It's much easier if you have a driver in and he's adapting while he's in the car to the new conditions. So if it's drying, he knows, you know, where the wet patches are, how much grip to expect in these corners. So it makes it difficult in those times, especially in a 24-hour, that, you know, you want to leave a guy in as long as possible so he can keep adapting to it and not throw someone in who's green and doesn't know what to expect. But you also have to keep in mind that if you wear this guy out now, you know, hour 8 of the race, how worn out is he going to be, you know, hour 20? So there's a lot of strategy that goes into it, but thankfully our guys, you know, way into the racing, our engineers and everything, have a lot of experience with it and kind of know how to use the drivers to the best of their ability.
Okay. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Jordan, I want to get back to, you know, working with Max as kids and learning a lot from him as you kind of developed your racing career here. And again, during the post-race comments, one of you mentioned that last pass move was a Max the Axe move. Can you clarify that for us?
Yeah, well, Max was kind of known in his career of being a pretty aggressive driver, and, you know, if he saw an opening, he would go for it and sort of like axe through the competition. It was, I think, how he got his nickname. So that was from our classes, you know, him teaching us on overtaking and, you know, always taking a gap when it's presented, especially, you know, if it's 10 minutes to go in the Rolex 24, you're not going to just sit around in second place. So as soon as Ricky saw that opening, and knowing that our car was much stronger under braking, especially in the turn one, Ricky knew that was the best spot that was going to happen. And as soon as the door opened, you know, Ricky was there to pounce, and he did. And, you know, I think Max was very proud that, you know, he can say that he had a part in, you know, teaching Ricky that style of move.
And that had to be so rewarding for him, knowing that the time that he spent with both of you in those days of, you know, sitting at the table with the blackboard or the whiteboard and going through all of that, to see that, you know, not only play out on the track, but play out in a way that won the Rolex 24 for you guys in his last race with Wayne Taylor Racing. It doesn't get any better than that, Jordan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he is like family. He lives He has a house in America and in Italy, and his house in America is only 10 houses away from me. So he is like family. So it was really special for all of us. And, you know, just because he's retiring from driving professionally doesn't mean he's retiring from the sport. He'll still be around, and I'm sure our classes will continue for a long time.
And it sounds like a great, great relationship. It's sad in a way to see him leave the Wayne Taylor Racing umbrella, if you will. But at the same time, as you just mentioned, it sounds like we'll still see him on the racetrack.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to have a tough time looking away, especially after just winning the biggest race of the year.
Okay. Now, next up for you guys is the 12 Hours of Sebring. Are you still going to be on Cloud 9 come up in March, or is that all going to be forgotten and you're now focused on the next race? How soon does that take place?
The team's already prepping the car. The car was back, and the team was at the shop Thursday of this week, you know, getting ready for Sebring. So then we go testing in a couple of weeks. But, I mean, I think everyone's still enjoying, you know, the celebrations of the win, but the focus does turn quickly to Sebring now.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to cover with you, one of the things that Jeff Gordon kind of talked about is the phone call at the end of the race and listening to Ricky kind of go through what was happening on the track. Were you with him when that happened?
About what? Sorry?
Jeff Gordon had talked about how he was on the phone with Ricky, I believe, while he was racing.
He was telling him
what was going on, or on the radio. I should say the radio.
Yeah, we have an intercom system on the timing stand so everyone can kind of hear each other talk. And I was in the car in the rain, and the team asked me to sort of describe to Jeff what to expect in the conditions. So because he's only driven in the rain one time in his career, and that was 10 years ago. In the last Rolex 24 he did so. He wanted to get a better idea, you know, just like I was saying, how he's always wanting to learn and understand what to expect, and he was wanting to know sort of before he got in the car what to expect the driving conditions were. So I tried to give him as good a representation of what it was going to be like, of what to expect, and, you know, how the brake points changed, where the grip levels were on the track, what areas they could be careful of. And I think I definitely would like that. Before I get in the car, Ricky and I often do that for each other. So I think it was kind of unique for him having teammates, you know, not unlike NASCAR. He can have teammates here that can kind of prep him and get him a little bit more prepared before he gets in the car. So I think that was a new experience for him, which he liked.
Okay, well, I think Sal may have a last question or two here, so I'm going to pass the baton to him, and then we'll go ahead and close out your segment. Okay?
All right.
Jordan, one of the things I've always wondered in these races is when you pick the drivers, do you try to pick drivers that are somewhat the same size? Because I know the seat and how they fit in the car, you know when it comes, you know, to being comfortable to drive. Is that a factor?
Yeah, it definitely is. Thankfully, the past few years, it's been just Ricky, myself, and Max in the car. Max is a little shorter, but he likes to, you know, be far from the steering wheel and everything, so he fits in our seat perfectly, and we are in the same seat. Jeff is a little bit shorter as well, but needed to have an insert to help him see over the dash and everything and have a better visual. So it does take extra time in the driver change. So it's definitely an advantage to have all guys the same size. But this year they made the fuel fill time a little longer for the pit stop. So you have a little extra time to do a driver change. So the seat insert hasn't really come into play. But in years past, it was definitely an advantage to have all similar size drivers.
You know, and actually preparing, you know, for these long races, what goes into the preparation?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the team was preparing, you know, from the end of last season, the Petit, or actually before that, in September of last year, we sort of started testing for Daytona with our new car. And then as soon as Daytona finished, you know, the truck was on its way back to Indianapolis to the shop, and the team was prepping. And for us drivers, we actually all four of us went up to the shop in Indianapolis about 2 weeks before Daytona, and we just did driver change practice for about 4 hours in the shop to try get it as smooth and consistent as possible, so it wasn't a sort of a risk in the pit stop that we can do, that we knew we could rely on each other to execute strong driver changes so it wouldn't hold us up. So there's a lot that goes into it. The team's always working just like any race team at the shop. You know, whether it's prepping the car, developing new pieces, they're always busy.
You know what? Once again, congratulations on the win. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Thank you.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for being on the show. And, again, I want to give my congratulations to you as well. I know this is something that you guys have been looking forward to accomplishing for, you know, a long time. And just the whole convergence of all the storylines made it that much more special. Before you go, let's make sure fans know how they can stay in touch with you and your teammates and Wayne Taylor Racing.
Yeah, we're all on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. My Instagram and Twitter is at Jordan10Taylor, and then the team is at Wayne Taylor Racing.
Okay. And are there any other shout-outs that you want to do before we let you go and make sure that you mentioned before we leave?
I don't think so. I mean, just all of our partners. I mean, it was great having Cadillac back in prototype racing after taking about 15 years off. And then our longtime partner, Konica Minolta, brought down probably over 100 guests to Daytona. So it was great to have, you know, a big group there, and especially to help top off the big win.
Well, it was fantastic seeing all of you in victory lane, and we hope to see more throughout the season with you, Ricky, or Jordan. And we certainly enjoyed chatting with you tonight. You really gave us some nice insights. So thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Take care now. All right. That was Jordan Taylor with Wayne Taylor Racing, and he was a Rolex 24 winner at Daytona International Speedway just a couple weeks ago and it was fantastic chatting with him and getting his thoughts about that victory. So we do need to move along here. To try to get back on schedule here. We have another guest joining us right now, Sal, that has been on the show with us before for an event that you and I both look forward to every year, and this is their third year. I'm going to let you do the introductions, okay, Sal?
All right. Our next guest is Brian Olson from the SRL. We were supposed to have him last week, and actually it's funny because when we had Steve Hughes, and I swear Steve Hughes and Brian Olson, they have the same voice. I actually thought Brian had called in instead of Steve, and I had to make sure it was Steve. But anyways, we got the big winner showdown coming up this weekend, $30,000 to the winner. A lot of added bonuses with that. Of course, Derek Thorne, got to throw him out there. Probably one of the favorites. And then, of course, Kyle Busch coming in to race. Eric Jones, and the last 2 years winner, Bubba Pollard. So with that, we want to welcome Brian Olson to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me on tonight.
Oh, thanks, Brian. You know what? Kind of give our listeners a little bit of rundown of what they can expect to see this weekend, you know, at Kern County Raceway with the third annual Winter Showdown.
Yeah, you know, obviously we're in order to be here for the third time, we obviously are headed in the right direction. And the event has definitely taken on a life of its own. The amount of buzz that's on a national basis, we didn't think we'd ever get to this. Let alone in the third year. So teams start rolling in on Wednesday. Matter of fact, some teams are already here in Bakersfield, started testing over the weekend. But the actual event for the fans is actually on Friday and Saturday. We have our 5150 energy drink opening night, where the super late models will qualify, and then we'll actually have a fast 12 race, in which the top 12 drivers from qualifying will be in a heat race, and how they finish will be how they start the main event on Saturday. And then we have the two qualifying races for the guys that don't make it in on qualifying. So it'll be pretty exciting Friday night. I mean, it's definitely great racing. Everybody's there to battle for it. There's something at stake for each one of those drivers. And then we come back on Saturday. We have our Spray 9 Lucas Oil Modifieds 50 lap main event with the Lucas Oil Modifieds. And then not to be outdone, our Spears Manufacturing Winter Showdown 250 for the third year. Like, as you already mentioned, $30,000 to win. $3,000 to start. So it is considered the richest race, a short track race in the United States, based on the payout.
Man, you know, Brian, I know there had to be a lot of preparations, for this weekend to happen. Probably even started, as far as, maybe when the last showdown ended last year, not only to secure the drivers, the track, to get all the marketing out there that you need to do, Facebook, Twitter, everything's just been flooded with nothing but Winter Showdown, and then also with the accusation of getting Kyle Busch to commit to racing in this event.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of, I think the big details are easy to put on. We've got a great facility. We've got a great lineup. We've got a great purse. The fans are going to be here. I've already exceeded our expectations on ticket sales up to this point. We haven't really done our last week of push of marketing. So all the big things are in place, right? And as long as we pay the power bill, the lights will come on so we can go race. But, it's all the fine details that we put a lot of time and effort into it. Sal, you've been to a lot of our races. We are, this is a full-time deal for us. We don't, this is not a hobby. It's not a sideline. This is our business, and this is what we live, breathe, sleep, eat, what we do. So a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and it's nice, man. It's nice to see the rewards of, a Kyle Busch calling us and wanting to come race. Not us speaking him, but him coming to us. Eric Jones, he'll be teammates with Martin Truex this year, wanting to come race part of this event. So it's exciting. It's a cool deal. I'm excited to be about it. I'm glad for our community. It's going to be a great event. Her hotels are already filling up, and it's going to be a lot of buzz coming this weekend.
So, kind of what goes on behind the scenes, when you and Larry, Marion, and Noel, and all of you guys sit down, I mean, this is the SRL Southwest Tour. You guys have a regular series, that goes on throughout the season, but of course, this is the big one. This is the barn burner. So, what goes on behind this one piece that probably wouldn't go on throughout the rest of the season?
Well, it's kind of an interesting dynamic, Sal. This event, we actually, on behalf of the SRL, we actually lease Kern County Raceway and put the event on ourselves. So we are responsible for the ticket sales, the sponsorships, the pit credential, everything that goes into the event other than the parking concessions falls on our shoulders. That responsibility is on my shoulders. And whereas a regular race throughout the season, we come in as a series like NASCAR does, and we put on the event, we pay our drivers, and we leave. So we're not responsible for all those other things. So it's definitely a challenge. We have 30 years at Mesa Marin under our belts. We've had some experience putting on big events, truck races, bringing in celebrities like Kevin Harvick on a regular basis. So it's nothing out of the usual. There's just a lot more load, a lot more stress, a lot more at risk when you got an event that's, $250,000 between purse and rental and staffing and, hotel flights and all the things that go into it, marketing, advertising, starts adding up quickly. So there's just more on the plate. It's not a great opportunity to have an event of this magnitude out here on the West Coast that we're all very proud of to be part of.
That's interesting. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sharon.
Hey, Brian, it's great to have you back on the show, and I can't believe you're having your third Winter Showdown. I remember talking about this when you were first getting started with the first annual.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of, as soon as I got on the radio with you, I thought, man, I can't believe we're doing this for the third time. I didn't even think we'd get past the first one. So, and I've already got calls on, when's 2018 going to be? It's like, let me live through 2017 first, and we'll talk about 2018 next week.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. It just, you talked earlier about all the hard work that goes into this. It's not a hobby. It's hard work, and you guys put in a lot of hard work every day. And I think in such a short time, the Winter Showdown is gaining a reputation as a national event. You've got drivers that are coming in from everywhere. Just talk about the, you know, how far away you've got drivers coming in for this race. You mentioned Kyle Busch. You mentioned Derek Jones. Who are some of the other big names, and where are they coming from?
Well, Sal already alluded to earlier, you know, Bubba Pollard from Senoia, Georgia. He's won the first two races, and most times, I mean, not always, a lot of times, guys won't come back for a third or fourth or fifth time. You know, it's leaving Georgia and putting the gas in that hauler, come across the United States. But it makes us feel proud that Bubba wants to be a part of this event. It's circled on his calendar every year. He wants to be a part of it. We're great to have him here. We have Donnie Wilson from Oklahoma City, which, you know, Donnie's one of those Midwest short track legend racers. We're proud to have him coming out. Georgia, with Bubba coming from Georgia, probably the farthest back. We've got two or three teams from state of Texas, a lot of teams from Colorado, a lot of teams from the Pacific Northwest. I figured out tonight we got like 9 or 10 different states represented this weekend out at Kern County Raceway.
That's fantastic, and we all know Kern County Raceway is a great track. Now you've got a lot of events starting this Wednesday with the registration and your parking and optional tech day. But Thursday is your kickoff at the Buck Owens Crystal Palace.
Yeah, that'll be the first day. The cars hit the track will be on Thursday. As far as that's the first practice day we have starting Thursday. But yeah, we're pretty excited. The Buck Owens Crystal Palace, you know, it's kind of a landmark restaurant here in Bakersfield. It's been here 25 years. Great venue, great concert hall, great food, and we're just grateful. We're actually going to combine our 2016 Spear Southwest Tour Series top 10 point awards presentations and a kickoff party all into one night. We're mindful of our teams travel so much. Instead of them coming, our Southwest Tour teams coming on another weekend, for the banquet, we wanted to, hey, they're already in town. Let's make sure that they, keep the money in their back pocket. And we're, mindful of their time away from their family. So it should be cool. We've never done it before. We have a lot of great raffle prizes for the drivers that are going to be there. We've got Traeger barbecues. We've got flat screen TVs, gift cards from Visa. So it'll just be a fun night. Way to kick it all off. Way to everybody to have a good time. Because I know once they get back to the track on Friday, it's their game faces are on, and it's all about getting that victory.
Absolutely. I'm going to toss it back to Sal. I know he's got some more questions for you, Brian.
Okay, great.
Brian, there's there's always a support race for every big race. And I know when the Can-Am kicks off their season at Irwindale, the SRL is going there, their support race. And you guys chose the Lucas Oil Modified Series, which everybody knows they can average anywhere from 40 to 50 cars. What was the decision, to bring the Modifieds back into the showdown mix?
Well, first and foremost, working with the people at Lucas Oil and Greg Scheidecker and that whole crew, I like to say that it doesn't get any better than working with them. They're great people to work with. They understand the big picture. We all have a lot of the same morals and the same thought process, so it makes our decisions easy to work together. Just the support that Lucas brings, Greg puts out lots of tow money for those teams, a lot of incentives to get those drivers to be part of the showdown. And then, there's also that element of so to speak, an open wheel type car. We could have a late model division or along those lines, but at the end of the day, that race fan may be sitting in there and go, wait, I just saw 50 laps of late models. Why am I seeing another 250 laps of late models? We want a different vibe, a different car taking in mind that race fan may be sitting in that grandstands for the very first time and knows nothing about the race cars on the racetrack. So, but first and foremost, they put on a great show and a great group of people to work with.
All in all, for the fans that are listening, like I said earlier, you got to make it out to Kern to watch this. It's going to be a really good production being put on. It's going to be a lot of good racing, and you really got to take your hats off to the SRL for all the work that has gone into this, all the way from the beginning until the end. And of course, I have to be like everybody else. I'm curious what's going to happen in 2018.
Well, I'd like to see it continue to grow. That's for sure. that, you know, I hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that Kyle Busch and Eric and those guys will come and enjoy themselves and go back and spread the word that, you know, this is a good event. You need to come out and be a part of it. And, you know, I mean, yeah, those guys have great accolades, but as you already mentioned, you know, Derek Thorne, David Mayhew, you know, Bubba Pollard, the list goes on and on and on. Dominic Urseta, Greg Pursley is going to be coming back in the super late model. I think he's only been in the super late model a couple times in the last few years. So, I mean, you look at what these people have accomplished. You know, Christian McGee, our 2016 Rookie of the Year. Those guys aren't just going to lay down because Kyle Busch is there. You know, it's going to be interesting, and I think the resumes of many of those drivers rival that of anybody that's in the Cup Series today. So. Phenomenal. The racing will be phenomenal. That's the least thing that we have to worry about at this point in time.
Yeah, you know what? And actually, you know, what one of the surprises was seeing Christopher Johnson come from Murrindale, you know, and to drive one of Dennis Furden's cars, because we know that Dennis is, you know, he's made a few starts, you know, in the series, you know, for him to put, you know, somebody like a Christopher Johnson who's won championships at Murrindale, you know, I think that just, you know, to bring Chris out of retirement, I think right there that shows, you know, the magnitude, you know, how important it is, you know, that these West Coast drivers, they want to be represented. Not only that, but they want to let the East Coast know, that we do have a big driver base along with the big fan base over here.
Yep, and I agree. And I think a lot of it too, you know, the purse is always attractive. You know, when you're racing for $30,000, we upped the start money to $3,000 this year. That was an investment that Mary and Larry and I decided to make on behalf of our company to help get those teams there, to get the who's who. I mean, like a Willie Allen, you know, former NASCAR, you know, Truck Series driver. I know that he's driving a Richardson car, but, you know, that's a big deal, man. That $3,000 to start, you know, that's 2 years ago, SRL paid $3,000 to win. Now we're paying $3,000 to start, which is quite a bit, big number. But I think it's the, you know, people go to the Snowball Derby because it's the lore of the event. You know, they've been doing it for 49 years and they've been doing it the right way. So as long as you put on a good quality event and everybody feels like the tech is done properly, you know, the grandstands are filled, you know, it's a national televised race. I mean, I think it's just going to continue to grow each and every year, and I hope we get more and more East Coast drivers that come out and battle against our West Coast guys.
You know, Brian, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay. Brian, I agree with you. I think, you know, each year that this goes on, it's going to get bigger and bigger. And, when you think about these 3 years or your first 2 years, and you kind of reflect back on the first 2 years and going into your third year here with the Winter Showdown this weekend, what are the highlights for you as you kind of see this come from an idea sitting around a table to actually seeing it take place on the track?
You know, that's a great question. I can tell you two things that kind of resonate with me that makes me feel good about what we do. You know, I had the opportunity to go to the PRI show this year in Indianapolis and be able, you know, 2 years ago when we started this thing and Larry would go back to the Snowball Derby and he would actually have to approach teams to try to explain with what we were trying to put on, and people kind of looked at us like we were crazy. And now to see just 2 short years later, the third year, actually people approaching us about the event and asking for entry forms for the event at the Snowball Derby, or go to PRI and vendors and companies, you know, you say, hey, I'm from California, I'm part of the Winter Showdown. Oh, I know exactly about that event. They know all about it. That kind of makes you feel good, because on the West Coast sometimes it gets lost, and to be able to have that national recognition in just a very, 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 very short amount of time, that makes me feel good about what we're doing. And I think the other thing that makes me feel good and the highlight to me is, you know, I'm a Bakersfield boy. We try to do everything we can for the community, to try to put back into the community, invest in the community. The Collins family have been here their entire lives, and to be able to see the grandstands and stuff full, and we're prospering as a community. That to me means as much as anything to me personally. So, and to see it continue to grow, and to be able to have phone calls and people thanking us for putting it on and telling us that we're doing the right thing. Those are what allows you to get through all the tough times.
That makes all that hard work very rewarding, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I'm thinking about Bakersfield, California. There's a lot of drivers that come from Bakersfield, California. It'd be great to have a homecoming for those drivers at the Winter Showdown for not this year, but next year's.
Yeah, you know, I hope that works out. You know, Kevin Harvick, you know, we work with him and his foundation, and you know, he raced at Mason Marin, and we have a great relationship with him. And I know there's interest on his part to be part of the event. Timing sometimes that just doesn't always work. And, you know, Kevin's very in tune with what's going on. He's very in tune with, you know, our community and the racing community here in Bakersfield. So I can't make any promises, but I know that eventually that's going to happen, whether it's 2018 or 2019. I don't know. But hopefully we have the opportunity for him to race here in front of his hometown and in front of the United States as well.
Okay, and if I'm out, I'm not out there. I'm out here in the Midwest, but I know there's a lot of folks out in that Bakersfield area that would love to get to the track and get some tickets. So they go to your website or Kern County. They go to Kern County to get tickets, right?
Yeah. In both events, you know, we work kind of seamlessly with one another. So the two websites that you want to go to is SRL Southwest Tour. com, and the other one would be KernRaceway.com. Those are the two websites. You know, obviously Facebook in this day and age, both of us have our own Facebook sites and go there. And we like Sal said, I could spend all day long just working on the social media side of things, promoting this event. And it's cool to see it take off and spread as fast as it has.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm really happy for you guys. And I'm really, you know, it is one of the races that we look forward to every year. So, you know, thank you for all the hard work that you put into this and to make this happen in the successful way that it has happened. And I know you have a lot of people behind you, you know, that are making it happen as well. So, Brian, we hope you'll come back and chat with us again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on, and I appreciate what you guys do for racing and short track guys.
And we love it, so just like you.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Have a good evening. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay. Take care,
Brian.
All right.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Sal. That was some great insight from Brian Olson. He is part of the Spears SRL Southwest Tour. And you know, I remember talking about that first annual Winter Showdown. It's amazing what they've accomplished in just a couple of years here, going into their third.
Yeah, I remember the first one, too, and I remember talking with Brian and Larry the year before, you know, during, you know, the regular SRL Southwest Tour season, you know, and you know, they're talking about, you know, about, gosh, you know, how is this going to work out? Is, you know, are people going to come? You know, you know, and here they are, you know, at their third one, you know, it keeps growing and growing.
It really does. And he mentioned that it's going to be televised. So definitely check your local listings because you're going to get a chance to actually see this race. I know they do a lot of it on MAV TV, right, Sal?
It'll be on MAV TV and, you know, like Brian said, you know, it's huge. You know, they put a lot of work into it. You know, and you know, they got some good solid sponsorship. You know, with you know, the list of sponsors who are involved in it, and you know, it's gonna be a good show. You know,
yeah,
you know,
I just want to mention some of those sponsors. You've got Spears Manufacturing, the 50/50 Energy Drake, Visit Bakersfield. That's huge for them as well because. Think about all these people coming from all over the country for this event. SA Camp, Pump and Drilling, you've got KUZZ, AM 55, and FM 107, KBAK 29, and KBFX 58. So those are, I'm thinking, local radio stations. The Race for Audio Autism, that's huge. Spray 9, Hoosier Tire, Racing Tire, Motor City GMC, Lucas Oil, Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse in Colton and San Dimas, as well as Sunoco Race Fuels, and Speed 51 is behind this as well. So a lot of really great organizations getting behind this.
Oh, yeah, and actually when you look at 50, when actually the Race for Autism, that's part of the Carlos Vieira Foundation along with the Four Star Fruit, which is Campbell Motorsports, which is Derek
mm-hmm.
Dorn's team. You also look at, like you said, Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse. Oh, my gosh. Glenn, he's done so much for racing in the past few years. You know, he's you know, he's come a long way. And then Steve Durrett with the I forget the name of his pump sponsorship.
Oh, the pump sponsorship
Hold
on, I just had it. SA Camp Pump and Drilling.
Yeah, and you know, there's just a lot of good companies, you know, involved in the showdown itself, and you know, to be held at Kerr, you know, it couldn't have been in a better facility. You know, it kind of takes me back to the days when NASCAR ran the Toyota All-Star Showdown over here at Irwindale. They used to run it, and they tried running it at the end of the year, and they started running it like in January. And this kind of reminds me of that, because it brought the East and West drivers, you know, along with any other driver that had a K&N West car, you know, into the series. And this is, you know, a big super late model show, which super late models are almost extinct out here on the West Coast. And it's good to see, you know, that the SRR, you know, is allowing them, you know, let's put this race on, you know, so it brings a lot of the cars out. Like I mentioned, Dennis Verdon with Christopher Johnson behind the wheel. That's one of the super late models, you know, that, you know, Dennis tries to run as many races as he can out here, you know, along with, you know, some of the other drivers. Tyler Akram, who wasn't mentioned, he's from out here from Colton. I think he moved back to North Carolina to pursue his racing career. But, you know, his parents still live out here. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, the West Coast house. We needed something like this.
Absolutely. And Sal, I'm going to ask a silly question, and I know the answer. I'm going to ask it anyway. I've got a feeling, are you going to be at Kern County Raceway this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I'll be up there Friday and Saturday. I'll be up there both days.
Okay. And as we know, when Sal is at the racetrack, he's got his camera at his side, and so we'll be able to get his view of what's happening at Kern County Raceway via his photographs on Facebook and Instagram. You're on Instagram as well, right, Sal?
Yeah, and actually, you might see video from me this year.
Oh, cool.
I've tried something different. I bought a Phantom 3 drone in November, and I'm still playing around with it. But I talked to Brian and I talked to Steve Hughes at Kern, and they said it's okay if I bring it down. I can't fly it during the race or during practice, but I can run it during practice. So Friday, you know, if everything, you know, works out pretty good, I might take some time out and shoot some video, you know, of practice, you know, from high above the track. And I'll download that to my Facebook page.
Okay. And then we also want to make sure fans know, you know, the Snowball Derby has Ricky Brooks, who is one of the inspectors, making sure that everything is fair. Ricky Brooks is going to be at Kern County Raceway this weekend as well, right?
Oh, yes, he'll be there. And actually, he's going to be the tech official for the SRL series for the whole season. So not only will he be at the showdown, but he'll also be at the
all of the races.
At all the races. So, you know, it's something that was needed. You know, anytime you can get, you know, somebody of Ricky Brooks' caliber, you know, to tech your cars, you know, you know that there's that no shenanigans are going to be played. And if they are, I mean, it's cut and dry. He doesn't care who you are. He will disqualify you. I mean, you could be his mother, his brother, his, you know, his best friend, his wife. And you know what? He's got a job to do, and you know, and he knows where to look. He was one of the best back in his day. So that's why, you know, a lot of tracks use him, because he knows exactly where to look, you know, where drivers are going to try and, you know, find the gray areas, you know, and try and, you know, make the best of them.
Absolutely. You know, he's got a reputation as being the guy at the Snowball Derby every year and being out at Five Flags Speedway. It's really great to hear that he's going to be part of the Spears SRL Touring Series out there in the Southwest this year. And, you know, drivers, when they go across the finish line, they like to know that it was fair and square, and even playing field, and that's what Rookie Brooks does. And that's why these races have such a high reputation amongst the drivers. They know it's going to be a fair race, and everybody wants to be a part of it. So congratulations. I'm happy that Rookie Brooks is a part of that series this season.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll make a lot of new friends, per se.
I'm sure he will.
Kyle Busch is one of his best friends.
Pardon me?
Kyle Busch is one of his best friends.
Yeah. Well, I know you're saying that with your tongue in your cheek, but it will be interesting to see how well Kyle Busch and Eric Jones does this weekend. It's kind of a homecoming for them of sorts, because it was just a few years ago that Eric Jones caught the attention of Kyle Busch at the Snowball Derby when he beat Kyle Busch to the finish line. So they're going to be matched up again this year here at the Winter Showdown. And who's going to come out on top, Sal?
You know, I think between those two, I think it'll be Eric. I think he'll come with the. I know that Kyle's coming with the really good piece, but I kind of think that I think it'll be Eric. I think he's got. It's hard to say because Kyle's a really good short track driver, but I think Eric's a little bit better when it comes to the short track. When it comes to the shorter tracks and. I'm not sure. I forgot to ask Brian if any of them have even practiced on the track yet. But as far as my top three, I have to go with Derek and Bubba Pollard, one and two, and then you know, third is I think there's going to be a toss up. Noah Gregson's out there. Noah Gregson will be racing. So, you know, he just came off a second place finish
there this year.
Dalton will be there. Dalton's won at Kern before. Noah just came off a second place finish at the Chili Willy 150 in Tucson last weekend. So, you know, he's on his game. He's had a lot of seat time, a lot of practice at different tracks. You know, I mean, he's going to be tough to beat. It's going to be a toss up.
Well, Sal, I'm hoping we can get the race winner on the show next Monday night. We'll be back here next Monday night, just like we were tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for 90 minutes of the smartest racing talk around with our NASCAR and Race Talk. I had a lot of fun on the show tonight. I really enjoyed chatting with the guest, as I know you did as well, Sal, and we'll look forward to doing it again next Monday night.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right, and have fun out there at the track. Be safe, and we'll call that a wrap for tonight on Fan for Racing Radio. Take care,
right,
everybody.
Okay, good night.